Right.
Okay, shall I move round? Okay, so I'm going to be talking about a small research project that I've been working on with some colleagues, and the project is still ongoing, so I'm going to give you a bit of a snapshot of where we are and what the next steps are and what I think we might be finding. It's a collaboration with people at a range of institutions, including an MSc student at Westminster and at Birmingham. And what we're looking at is changes in reporting cycle desks in the media, focusing on London and focusing on the print media, I should say, but not only looking at London, and I'll say a bit more about that in a minute. And it's got a quantitative aspect, and it's also got a qualitative aspect, and the quantitative aspect is what I'm going to be mostly talking about now. I would say that the statistical analysis involved wasn't conducted by me, so if you have any hard statistical questions, I may have to phone a friend or ask Ian. Okay, so this is what we did in terms of the quantitative analysis. We started off with a Stats19 dataset, which people may be familiar with, which is a dataset of road injuries. And we extracted, for London, we extracted fatalities of cyclists and motorcyclists between 1992 and 2012. So giving us a 20-year period over which we could look and see, has the reporting of deaths changed? And motorcyclists we decided to use as our comparator. We thought about using pedestrians, and we swiftly realised that was impossible. However, motorcyclists seemed a reasonable group to compare. One interesting thing we found was that cyclists were often referred to as cyclists, but in terms of motorcyclists, they were referred to by a wider range of terms, which is kind of interesting, and I think we'll pick up on that in the qualitative analysis. We, using Stats19 data, we assigned a strike mode to each fatality, which I think is an interesting form of analysis, which isn't done enough in terms of looking at what modes are actually causing the deaths, and, for example, HDV cyclist issues you can look at there. So we had a strike mode for each death of a cyclist or a motorcyclist, and it could be no other vehicle. It could be somebody rode into a lamppost, for example. But usually there's other vehicles involved for cyclists. And we also looked at several places outside of London as comparators. Interestingly, what we found was that we couldn't find the patterns that I'm going to tell you about in London. We didn't find it those other places. And one reason was the fact that in smaller towns and cities, you get high levels of reporting of cyclist and motorcyclist deaths generally. We didn't really see a trend. But in London, it's a bit different, which I'm going to say something about. And this will relate to what we're going to be discussing later, I think. So we looked at the data sources we looked at. In London, we chose to look at the Evening Standard, which is the most widely distributed London-specific paper anyway. So we had the Evening Standard. There's interesting questions, I think, about the extent to which the Evening Standard itself has changed. So obviously the Evening Standard of 1992 and of 2012 is not the same paper. However, we decided not to worry too much about that for the time being. So we looked at the archives during that period, looking at 2 years after the end of the Stats19 period, so we could have a look at the coverage of the fatalities in the Evening Standard. And we developed various search terms and we tested them and so on. And we looked at the articles, in relation to the Stats19 data, so we could say how many of these deaths have been covered and how much have they been covered, which was quite interesting. And so you could easily match them. I mean, it was a little time consuming, but you could match them looking at the when this happened, the characteristics of the person who died, and so on. And so we also did this for Bristol, Birmingham and Cambridge, but as I mentioned, we didn't find the same relationships there. London seemed to be something quite distinctive going on. So we had an outcome which was getting any media coverage within 2 years of the fatality, and the secondary outcome was looking at how much reporting there was. So we thought we might also find differences in terms of how many articles you got per death, as well as whether the deaths were covered at all. And we had, for an article to count, you had to be able to identify the person within it. So they didn't have to be named. People are often not named to start off with as well. So, but we had to identify it was about a specific person. So we looked at the year. Our main interest is in the year, how it changed over time. But we also looked at things like gender and things like where the incident occurred, which I'll say something about in a minute, which is also interesting. We did univariable and multivariable regression models to look at these relationships. So the results, very briefly, and then I'll show you a few graphs. So in London, the prevalence of cycling has doubled, and we found that the proportion of cyclist fatalities that were covered in the Evening Standard increased tenfold. There's a big, big difference in terms of the death, the cycle deaths in London being covered. It started off as, you know, very few, and it went up to nearly all of them. So really big change. The number of cyclist fatalities stayed pretty similar during that period, so there hasn't been much change in the number of fatalities. For motorcyclists, the coverage remained low. There was not much of a change in terms of motorcyclist fatality being covered. So it seems like the change in coverage is about cycling becoming more newsworthy. It wasn't that there was an increase in deaths. There was a big increase in the proportion of deaths that were reported. So perhaps because cycling levels were rising and promoting cycling became an increasingly prominent goal for London policymakers. So just to show you the graph. So this is the trends in cycle flows on major roads in London, 1993 to 2010. And obviously you can measure cycling a whole range of ways. So this is just one way, but generally you see that there has been something of an increase over this period. And this is the percentage of cycling fatalities that are covered in the Evening Standard by year. And the two graphs look fairly similar. You've got it kind of bumps along and then it goes up quite dramatically in the middle of the last decade. This graph just shows you the percentage of fatalities that got any coverage at all, any articles in which a person is referred to. And the red line is cyclists and the blue dotted line is motorcyclists. So you can see a little spike with the motorcyclists, but it's really not changing that much. But for cyclists, there's clearly a substantial jump up there after 2004, particularly to which we get to the point where pretty much all cycle deaths in London now get covered in the Evening Standard. This one just shows you the average number of articles per fatality for those who got covered at all. And here you see for the red line is the cycle deaths, and you see there's a big increase after about 2001. Previously, you would have one article per death. Now you have higher numbers. For motorcyclists, it's not very much change happening there again. This just tells you the number of fatalities. Just as I was saying, the number of cycle deaths has stayed pretty constant over that period in London. For motorcyclists, there was actually a spike in the number of fatalities, and then it's been declining pretty quickly since 2001. Now, I have an unpleasantly ugly-looking table, but I'm just going to pull out one or two things that are interesting for discussion. So I won't go through the detail of it, but basically there's a very significant relationship between year, as you would expect, and the amount of coverage and whether there's any coverage at all for cyclists. Not the case for motorcyclists. I'll just draw your attention to the region, which is that if a fatality happens in central London, it is more likely to get reported. If you, as a cyclist, you're killed on your bike in outer London, you're less likely to get coverage. There's a difference in terms of gender. So women are more likely, deaths of women were more likely to get reported than deaths of male cyclists. The age thing was a bit iffy. It seemed like maybe older cyclists' deaths are less likely to be covered. But aside from that, it didn't seem, for example, that children's deaths were more likely to be covered, which perhaps slightly surprising. And the strike mode. If you were killed by car or taxi, you were less likely to get coverage. So if it was a large vehicle, it was more likely to be reported, which I think is generally quite interesting. I have one for motorcyclists, which I don't want to talk about at all, but just to highlight that the gender for motorcyclists, the main thing that jumped out was that if a woman motorcyclist was killed, then there was it was significantly more likely to be reported. So I guess the key quantitative findings there are that since 1990, the cycling levels have doubled in London and fatality rates remained fairly constant, but there's been a big shift in terms of the media coverage. There's going from, relatively few deaths reported, generally one article, to a situation where pretty much all deaths are reported and you tend to get more than one article. And we see these differences by gender, by location, and by strike mode. And this increased coverage was specific to cyclists. It wasn't seen for motorcyclists. So it's not that there was a general increase in interest, broadly speaking, in road traffic fatalities. And the evidence suggests this shift may not apply to cities other than London. So, for example, in Birmingham, we found that Birmingham's a much smaller city. Deaths were more likely to be reported to start off with, and we didn't find significant differences there. So final thoughts, which maybe we'll pick up in the discussion, is that we're doing some qualitative work now, looking at shifts in discourse and framing, because one thing that seems to be happening also is not just that the quantity is changing, but also the quality. So, for example, in terms of the location of responsibility, which is something that we picked up on yesterday, and the extent to which the roads are seen as a system that policymakers have a responsibility for, particularly with respect to vulnerable road users, perhaps. So there seems to be a shift in that respect towards the media themselves, the Evening Standard we're talking about in this case, sort of campaigning, calling for change and posing questions related to these deaths, as opposed to perhaps in those earlier years it was more like, this is a death, this is a tragedy, but not, therefore, the policymakers need to do something, often quite specific. So we're going to be doing more proper work on that and trying to tease out what's going on there. We also think it would be good to do more research on how people, the effect this has on people, because often when we're discussing this, we're maybe making assumptions that people react to it in a particular way, and occasionally I like to be devil's advocate and say, well, actually, perhaps people are like, oh, there's more stories about cycling, and it actually doesn't necessarily have the negative impact that we perhaps assume it does have. I also think there are different impacts on policymakers versus people cycling, so the impact may happen in different ways depending on the group. So I teach students who are often working for these transport organisations, and it was quite interesting because we're having a discussion in the group about these kind of impacts, and people were saying, well, you know, all these negative stories, they put people off cycling, but my students who work within certain transport organisations said, but it really helps to get things done when you've got something from the Evening Standard landing on your boss's table and they're saying, what are we going to do about this, we need to do something now. So there may be these different impacts on policymakers, planners, people cycling and so on. So that will also be an interesting avenue. So, yeah, I think that's it for me.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Rachel.